Hello, hello, hello. Hey guys, it's Nicole back from Chicago, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. I was in Chicago last weekend, and it was amazing. Amazing. You guys, and you know who you are out there listening today, I loved being with you guys so much. It was amazing. So Dr. Strax and I had our event, long anticipated event, at the Heartwood Center in Evanston, Illinois, right outside of the city. And we, about between 65 and 70 people, and we just had such a wonderful weekend. I mean, life-changing to the point where every time I experience this stuff, it blows me away of how people are willing and able to show up and to get involved in the different activities we're doing, and to, I watch them changing. I've literally watched you guys changing throughout the weekend, and I've heard from so many of you, and I so appreciate the fact that you agree that it was incredible and transformative. We did guided meditations together. We did group exercises. We worked together in terms of understanding where we've been and where we're going and what we're struggling with. We had an amazing, powerful sharing circle at the end of each day where I watched people be so brave and come out the other end of that bravery feeling so supported and feeling so hopeful for the future. It was just, it was amazing. So I just wanted to immediately thank you for how great it was. What a privilege, truly, hand to heart, a privilege it is to be able to do this work as part of my experience on Earth, because there's nothing like seeing people light up with epiphany and with understanding and with connection and with support. It's really, there's nothing like it. So if indeed you are a person who did not make it to Chicago, please find a way to get to 1440 Multiversity in California. I will be teaching there for 5 full days. So everything we did in Chicago will be way, way more fleshed out because we only had a day and a half there, which was amazing. And when I say only, I mean, I know that that experience was so helpful. But when I have 5 days to really lay out this work, to really sit in the experience of healing, it's very, very powerful. And so that is not that far in the future. April 5th through the 10th, I will be at 1440 Multiversity in Santa Cruz, California. It's an amazing, incredible spa retreat. It's like going to a fantasy world of gorgeousness and loveliness. And if you're interested in signing up for that, that will be on the retreats tab of my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. So check in and check it out. And I hope to meet you there and give you a hug and help you understand that the life you save is your own, and I will help you, and it will be okay. So I'm not going to delay too much. I have an amazing interview for you today. Jessica Rich is a PhD candidate and a practicing therapist in New York City in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. I came to know her through our mutual friendship with Shoshana Bean, who is a very, very dear friend of mine. And she had a really upsetting, debilitating case of nausea that led to panic attacks. And that kind of a situation just really diminished her life till it was almost nothing. And when I first met Jess, she was in a terrible place, really unable to ride the subway, unable to function in her day-to-day life. And when you live in a city, you know, you got to be able to use public transportation. And even in cabs, she was suffering as well. And so she's got a really interesting story of what the nervous system can do when it hangs on to something that causes you tremendous fear, and how the fear can beget fear, and that fear can beget symptoms, which lead to more fear. So even if nausea and panic are not your problem, it is the same as any sort of chronic body pain. It is the same as fibromyalgia. It is the same as chronic migraine. Although these things show up differently in our bodies, and although they are all capital R real. They are real. No one's making it up. Jess's debilitating nausea was not in her head. But the solution to getting rid of it, did not exist in manipulating her body. She had to deal with her repressed emotions that were making her super sick. And once she did, you'll hear what happens. So one thing I'll add about Jess is although her practice is almost full, she is taking a handful of new clients. She's an incredible therapist. And I am not saying this to promote her. I am saying this because the first four or five people that find her who live in the proximity to Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and can see her will be lucky freaking people, because not only is she an excellent therapist on her way to her PhD, which I don't even have, she's intimately connected to this work. It has saved her life, and she could teach it just as well as I could. So anyway, I will include her email in the show notes. So if you are interested in contacting Jessica Rich, I will include that, and you can find your way to her because she's incredible. All right. Well, without further ado, I give you my interview with Jessica Rich. And also, just as a note, at the beginning, we know each other now a little bit in terms of we're familiar. And so I was kind of laughing and talking and laughing when I hit record. So sorry about the like uproarious laughter at the beginning of this. And I hope you enjoy the interview. I send you guys lots of love, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Hello, everybody, and welcome to my interview with Jessica Rich. Jessica and I have not known each other for a long time, but it feels like we do because I just love her, and we are soul sisters in many ways. So Jess, typical of my interviews, I'm just going to hand it over to you to tell your story and to help inspire people along this path.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to do this. Okay, so I'm going to start back in 2018. It was January of 2018. I was boarding a flight. When I woke up that morning, I felt nauseous and I felt like something, I was getting some kind of illness. I pushed through it because I had a flight to catch, right? So, but the second the cabin doors closed, I was violently ill. Violently ill, vomiting, fever, chills. It was a really intense, I guess, probably 24-hour bug. And all I remember is locking myself or being stuck in the back bathroom for the entire 2.5-hour flight. I was on my way to Mexico for a bachelorette party with my partner at the time. And it passed. I made it through the flight. It felt like probably like it felt like a 24-hour flight, right? And it was only 2.5 hours.
Sure.
But oh my God, it was awful. Anyone who's experienced being sick on a flight knows that it's a really debilitating feeling. You feel very trapped, you feel very scared. And there's nothing you can do but wait for it to be over. So it ended up passing. I got off the flight. It was only a 24-hour bug. I was able to have a great time with my friends in Mexico. And I didn't really think anything of it, truly. I didn't. I moved on with my life. Now, at the time, I was getting my PhD. I was about to start my second semester as a PhD student, which was insanely stressful and hard for me. I was taking classes that were really stretching me, like statistics, which is just like the grossest class in the entire world.
I remember it.
Oh my God, it's awful. And someone who's not math oriented, it was just really hard. And so I think I just also had really a subconscious awareness of like doing this insanely stressful thing at the time. Okay, so I'm going to jump now to 2019. So last year, I had made it through my first year as a PhD student. I had made it through my first semester of my second year. And I was about to start my last semester, actually, as a PhD student doing coursework. It's insanely stressful. You are having to decide on a topic for your dissertation that you're going to be focusing on for the next 2+ years, depending on how long it takes you. I was neglecting at that time a lot of my own needs. I was having to push. I was also a brand new therapist, so I was seeing 30 clients a week, roughly, you know, making like $15 to $20 an hour, and also in school full-time getting my PhD. And it was April of 2019, and I was about to board another flight. My partner at the time had a gig in Miami for Miami Pride, and we were going the day before. So there was a lot of pressure, right? We had to get there so she could make her gig. And the second they called us to board the flight, I experienced the same feeling I had had a year and almost a half before of an intense wave of nausea, to the point where I remember so viscerally dropping my suitcase, my luggage, and bolting in Newark Airport to the bathroom.
Like certain that you were going to throw up.
Certain I was going to throw up.
Right.
1,000% certain I was going to throw up. We ended up missing our flight because I would not leave the bathroom.
Because you were terrified or because you actually threw up?
I did. I never actually threw up. I was just certain it was going to come. Right. I was certain I was getting that same sickness that I had gotten a year and a half before, or really only a year before. And I was absolutely certain my body was telling me it was sick and that I was could not get on that flight because I would have the same sickness that I had a year before.
Which makes perfect sense in terms of looking at the concept of trauma and the concept mm-hmm. of PTSD, that you were really shaken horribly by that traumatic experience. And it makes complete sense because I always want to tell people when TMS begins, it will always make sense to you. It'll right. always be like, oh, well, I had a bad back 10 years ago, so of course I pulled out my back. Or, oh, I blew out my knee in high school playing soccer, so of course I have a bad knee. And for Jess, it was, she actually got a virus that made her really traumatized. So go on.
Yes, no, exactly. My body was having the exact same response as it had. So we missed our flight, which was insanely stressful. I was able to get on a flight the next day. But Nicole, what happened after that day is for the next 6 months, there was not a day where I was not insanely, viscerally nauseous. So I remember the Miami trip pretty well because it was kind of the first, intense feelings of nausea constantly. Anytime I was in a car, anytime we were at a restaurant. And at the time, my brain was saying, I have a virus. There's a virus in me. I must be sick. I should not have come on this trip. I'm ruining my partner's trip. I have a virus. As soon as I get home, I need to go to the doctor. And that's exactly what I did. So that was in April. And I got home. I went to the doctor. They did blood work. I did everything you would think you would do if something was physiologically wrong with you.
Right.
I went to a gastro, and we did all kinds of things. And while all of this is happening, while I'm trying to figure out what's going on with me, I'm debilitated. I truly am. It's causing me to not get on the subway. What happened on the subway is I was with my mom. My mom came to town because I was so sick. We got on the subway together to go to the gastro, and on the subway, I had an intense wave of nausea. We ended up getting off. I think I started crying. It was so bad and I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
We got off the subway, and I had to take a cab, but even in cabs, I would have this intense wave. Like I wasn't getting any comfort or respite from this nauseous feeling. Excuse me. We get to the gastro. This was probably the very beginning of May. So I had been experiencing these symptoms for 2 weeks. And the first thing, after I kind of list off my symptoms to the gastro, the first thing he asks me is, have you seen a psychiatrist? And I was offended. I truly, at that time, was offended.
It wasn't time for that quite yet, doctor.
Exactly. I was like, excuse me, I'm a mental health counselor. I'm a therapist. How dare you? I would know if this was a psychological or emotional issue. I'm experiencing a physical manifestation of nausea. Help me. Like, literally, I was so frustrated with him. And of course, my mom, who was with me, was like, how dare, you know, like, no, you're not, you know, she has this, and this. Anyway, we schedule a endoscopy. I go through with it. He literally comes out afterwards and he's like, your stomach is beautiful. There is nothing wrong with you. Your esophagus is beautiful. There's no ulcer. There's no parasite. There's no virus. There's something else going on. He put me on a PPI. He put me on Prilosec to help with acid reflux because I, was convinced maybe that was why I was nauseous. And I stayed on that for a while, but that gave me no relief. I still continued to feel the symptoms of nausea. So what happened is I learned to self-soothe myself by carrying a Zofran prescription around with me at all times. Zofran is given to people who are experiencing nausea or like severe vomiting. Yeah. It helps stop vomiting. So I carried that with me at all times. I think at that point, my mom had given me a Xanax, like given me one to keep in my bag, because what would happen is the nausea, when I would feel the nausea, I would then panic. So I could identify that I was panicking, but I could not acknowledge consciously that this had anything to do with my emotions. So I had a Zofran, I had Xanax, I would carry bags with me. This is so gross. Like I would carry like bags in case I needed to throw up.
But like, it's not gross. It's like, this is, to me, it is such a natural reaction to fear, especially living in New York City, where we're around people all the time when we're in a city. And so I don't think it's embarrassing. I think it's like, of course.
Survival.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how I lived for the next 6 months, truly survival. And I would have all these things with me at all times. And for some reason, that was at least enough to help me feel like if I did throw up, I was prepared. Granted, just as like a little bit of insight, I never, ever threw up.
Yeah.
So, okay, which is bizarre. Cut to, subconsciously, I maybe at some point along in during these next 2 months started realizing or you know, acknowledging something else was going on, because all the tests were proving that I had no actual physiological issue that was causing this nausea. On June 2nd, this is when Nicole comes into play. On June 2nd, I went to see a Broadway show with Shoshana Bean and Jeremy Jordan. Jeremy Jordan and I went to college together, and I knew it was his last night in the show, and I wanted to see him. And I have been a lifelong fan of Shoshana Bean. I had probably, you know, my fandom had been dormant because she hadn't been on Broadway for a while, and I hadn't heard from her or seen from her. And at this point, I wasn't even following her on social media. So on June 2nd, I sat in the audience, and I think at that point, you know, right before the show, I had started following her and was scrolling through her feed. And I stumbled upon, I think it was probably like the third picture on her feed, I see her with Nicole, and I see them holding pies. And I read the caption, and I read a little bit about what Shoshana's talking about and how Nicole has helped her. And something in me flipped. Something in me was like, I think this is the answer. I need this woman. I need to meet this woman.
And just as like a little aside, because Jess and I think it's so funny and cute, I was also in the audience that night. We just didn't know it.
We were opposite each other, right? Like, I think we were almost exactly in the same position seating wise, but on opposite ends of the stage.
Yes.
So bizarre. And I truly believe in divine connection and chemistry. And I think this was all meant to happen. So when the moment after that show ended, I again had a feeling of knowing I was meant to meet Nicole, but also knowing that I was meant to meet Shoshana Bean. So what ended up happening is along with, that was June 2nd, right? So by the end of July, because of just the way life is, I ended up befriending Shoshana Bean. My partner and myself at the time approached her, became her friend. And I remember it was the end of July, the first time I ever sat down with this woman. We were at the Standard Hotel in Hollywood, and we were about to see her show that night. And we had, you know, somehow convinced her to meet us for lunch. And the first thing out of my mouth to her was, can you tell me about Nicole? And she did. And I told her a little bit about what was going on with me. And she was like, oh, absolutely, you need Nicole. I remember her response when I told her I couldn't get on the subway. She was like, you can't get on the subway? And she was like, absolutely, you need Nicole. A week later, we hung out again, and she put me in touch with Nicole. And I'll never forget this. I talked to Nicole. I looked it up just because I was like, what was the first date? It was August 13th, and I had spoken to Nicole.
You're really good with the dates.
I know. You know why? You changed my life. This everything changed. This was transformative to me. These were not just like small little nothing dates. These were humongous life-changing dates for me. And I think that goes to say like what this nausea did for me was it debilitated my life. I think I've skipped over like how awful it was. So from, you know, April to August, I'm seeing clients. I would have to leave sessions mid-session because of this nausea. It was truly debilitating me. I would have to take cabs to work. It was like really, really, really debilitating. So meeting you and talking to you for the first time, and you telling me, I'll never forget this, at the end of our call, Jess, you can tell your nausea, it can go now.
Yeah, that's something I need. That's something I want to highlight here for a moment, because so I just came back last weekend from teaching a workshop in Chicago, and one of the things I didn't mention you by name, but I said I had a client once who, and it was you, and and what I said was, this certainly doesn't happen for everybody, and it's certainly not something that you should feel badly or like, you know, judge your experience if it doesn't happen. But I have had a client who I told her on the first day I ever spoke to her at the end of the conversation, you can tell your body, we don't need to have symptoms anymore. I commit myself to you. I commit myself to doing the work. I will not drop the ball just because you don't have, you know, just because I'm not sick every day, but you can go now. And I don't know what occurred. It was the first time I had ever said it to anybody. And it was not, it did not occur to me how monumental it would be, but like pretty much, Jess, you got better on that day. I mean, I also want to say for people, because I'm always very mindful of everyone's journey, never compare your insides to other people's outsides. Never compare. I love this new phrase I've heard, never compare your behind the scenes to somebody else's highlight reel. You know, like this is not about you comparing yourself to Jess. This is just telling you that there is such an emotional and mental power to this work, that when she was able to believe me that I was going to help her, and when she was able to understand the process by which her fight or flight system was keeping her nauseous, she was able to flip the switch between fight or flight and rest and repair. And in that moment, she was able to be in a space of a lot more comfort as she did the work. So anyway, sorry to interrupt. I just had to say that.
No, I mean, that is truly what happened. Hearing your hearing you say those words and truly believing, and because of also, I mean, I had also done a lot of research on Nicole after I had first seen that post on June 2nd. I had, you know, listened to some podcasts and Googled, and I was definitely aware, like, I need to meet this person. I just didn't really know about how to go about it other than Shoshana. So on that day, when I heard that, truly, it was the beginning of the rest of my life. I feel like there was a massive monumental shift that happened where I truly believed that this work was meant for me, and everything that had happened had led me to this place. So I started doing the work, and I think the biggest thing that I want to talk about now is the resistance piece that kind of came up for me that, I mean, it's still present in my mind sometimes. Like, I even kind of experienced it last Monday without noticing, but I'll explain that for a second. So when I first started doing the work, it was insanely hard, and it was insanely emotional. And I remember talking to Nicole, being so grateful that I had this person I could speak to once a week for an hour, and being able to help guide me through this process. I felt insanely, insanely fortunate, but I was also insanely angry and sad that I was having to have these emotional upheavals every single day by doing journal speak. When I learned how to journal speak and the process of it, I dove right in. I was not necessarily scared or hesitant at first. I was like, okay, I got it. I'm definitely one of those people where I believe in, you know, being led to a certain place, and I dove right in. But what was happening was constant tears, constant feelings of overwhelm and emotion. And I remember asking Nicole, like, I feel like when I do this work, my emotions are so intense, and I have so much to let out that I am not able to close the door back up when I'm doing this work. And she, of course, recommended meditation afterwards, and that certainly started to help. But I think every single day, especially for the first month, I was like, I can't keep doing this. This isn't sustainable. I'm having such an emotional response to doing this work every day. So my resistance became, you're not nauseous anymore. Maybe you don't have to do it that long.
Right.
Maybe you can only do it for 5 minutes. Maybe that's enough. Maybe you just need to crack the door instead of like swinging the door wide open. But as anyone who has done this work or is looking to do this work will find out, that's not how this works. What works about this is we have to expunge. We have to get out all of these emotions that are living in us. to have freedom, which is what I was ultimately looking for. So what would happen is when I would only do 5 minutes, I would feel the nauseous. I would feel nauseous again, not to the extent I was feeling, of course, right before I ever met Nicole, but I would feel it to a debilitating part where I would need to separate myself. I would need to self-soothe myself. And at the time, just starting, I didn't have the tools necessarily to be able to say, what am I feeling? What's going on? I would just feel the nauseous again, and I would go right back to old patterns of panic.
Well, that's because chronic pain is an epidemic of fear, which people hear me say all the time. And if you are in a state of prolonged, sustained fear, you truly can do very little. It's brain science. The rest of your systems begin to shut down because so much is necessary to combat the fear. So that makes total sense.
Right. Exactly. And I think I would say that to anyone. That's what it felt like, the resistance. It felt like a little devil on my shoulder, which is fear for me, right? Trying to pull me. And what's crazy is our brains are so powerful. My brain would convince me that I didn't need to journal that day.
Yes.
My brain would convince me I had something else to do that would help. So I could go to yoga. That works. Or I could, I would go to Al-Anon. Maybe that's going to help me. Absolutely not. The fear will create cognitive dissonance for you to not do the work. So finding the motivation within myself, which ultimately was, do you want to feel nauseous today? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
No? Sit down and do 20 minutes and you will have complete freedom for the day. Now, tomorrow, do you want to feel nauseous tomorrow? You have to do your journal again. it became an option.
I mean, let's just be honest, because I know everybody out there needs to hear it. It's fucking annoying. It's annoying that is the case of life. Like, it's like, let's just have a pity party together for 5 minutes that, like, it's annoying. I feel the same way about healthy eating. I feel the same way about exercise. I'm like, I have to do this again today?
Every day?
So annoying. but this is the state of affairs. Okay, guys? Like, this is, and the other option is I don't need to do it every day. But how do I want to feel today? So, I mean, that is a perfect thing for all of you guys to be thinking about. It's not about, me versus you, or it's not about, what you should do versus what you have to do. This is about how do you want to feel today? Because if you want to feel great with absolute freedom to live your life any way you want to, this is a tool that won't fail you, but you have to do it. And I get it that it sucks. Anyway. Right?
Yes. No, and it does. Well, you know what? It did at first. Now, Nicole, I look forward to it. Now it is a moment in my morning or at night, but mainly my morning. If I want to do it twice a day, of course I do it at night, but it is a morning. It's a ritual for me. It has become a therapeutic process for me. So, but I had to go through the resistance. And I think for anyone who does experience resistance, we can't judge ourselves because it's a part of your process. I think you're going to realize there are no other options.
Right.
Just like eating healthy, you're going to feel better throughout your day. You want to feel like shit? Okay, eat like shit. Sorry, I hope I can say that.
You can say whatever you want.
Okay, good. So it has become a daily ritual and a part of my life that I look forward to now, but it definitely took some getting used to. And even the other day, I was flying from LAX to New York City and I took a red eye. I got in at 6 a.m. I jumped in my bed and I slept because I had clients from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. And subconsciously, I'm sure there was a part of me that was like, you just skipped your journal today. And what happened is last Tuesday and Wednesday, I was insanely nauseous to the point of during one of my sessions, I had to say, please excuse me, I need to run to the bathroom. I pulled out my phone. I said, what is happening for me right now? What am I feeling? And I started processing everything that I was going through. And a little tidbit, I think subconsciously, I was hyper aware I'm currently going through a divorce. I knew that when I got home from LA, I would have divorce papers in my mailbox. So subconsciously, there was a part of me that was like, you don't need to journal today. That's going to be scary territory. You don't need to go there.
Right.
And what happened is, as a result, I was very sick to the point of disrupting a session that someone pays me their good money for. So it's tricky. I think avoidance and resistance sneaks in sometimes without you being consciously aware of it. And we have to take the time to notice it.
And it's really like, seriously, this, we have to just normalize this too, because this is such a part of the human condition. Just the fact that we don't want to do what we should do. We just don't. You know, we just right. truly don't as humans. And sometimes I think that it is leftover rebellion from childhood. It's almost like mm-hmm. we're all teenagers. And as soon as there is the figure of a parent, wherever that figure shows up, that figure could be the news telling you, well, you know, the latest reports on healthy eating is you should eat this, this, and this. Well, that becomes the parent, you know, and you start looking at the news and saying, well, screw you, I'm not doing that then, you know? And, right. and there's just so many different ways that we find ourselves in the space of resistance. And trust me, I am the worst. Like, I will avoid anything I can possibly avoid. But one thing that I've been doing in my life lately, and I talk about on the podcast, is I've been really challenging that side of myself. Like, I don't like it. I don't like mm-hmm. how it feels to resist what's good for me. I don't right. like how it feels to get up and say, oh, I said I was going to exercise today, but I don't feel like it. You know, I get that I don't have to, but I also am my own best advocate. And if I'm going to advocate for myself, what I need to do is say, if I do this, I will feel better. And that is important to me. I really think that those of you guys out there struggling with chronic pain, this is a tool that won't fail you if you can just gently step over that natural human resistance that we all feel. Because I remember, Jess, when you were going through that time. And right. Jess and I, you know, we worked together very briefly in terms of professionally, and we were in touch at the time also via another app called Marco Polo, where we could have like video chat, and I didn't hear from her for a week. And I knew that she was hiding out and not doing her journal speak. But what's kind of beautiful about that is sometimes it can't come from a person of authority. Like sometimes mm-hmm. it's better where our experience informs ourselves. And right. you started feeling it. You didn't feel well again. You started feeling that nausea coming back up. And you're like, you know what? Actually, I choose. And that's when things really changed for you.
Absolutely. And I think what I realized is these floods of emotion that I was experiencing while journaling, they lead to ultimate freedom. So I stopped viewing it. It was a perspective change, I think, a little bit of like, okay, this is not bad. These tears that I'm experiencing when I do these journals, when I am focusing on past traumas and past pain and hurt, it's leading me to live freely. So it was a perspective change. Instead of being like, this is causing a lot of tears and pain, which is also, you know, causing me to not feel nauseous, I started viewing it as a positive instead of a negative, and that was helpful. But of course, I needed to, and I am the worst with authority. I really don't like to be told what to do. Ask my mother. I really don't like to be told what to do. And if you do tell me to do something, I'll probably be like, and then do whatever I want. So I probably absolutely needed to figure it out on my own. Like, do you want to feel sick or not? Do you want to wake up and be mad at yourself or judge yourself for not doing something that you know is going to benefit you? Absolutely not. And the reward is a life of freedom. And I can't, there's not enough words to articulate the freedom that I feel, the hope I feel when I don't wake up and I don't experience nausea for an entire day. And I know that I have the option to continue to not feel nauseous tomorrow and the next day and the next day. It is actually like kind of makes me emotional because when you, and I know that other people who experience chronic pain know this feeling, when you wake up and every single day of your life, you have pain or nausea or some sort of illness that is prohibiting you from living your life to your fullest, you truly are on your, like you're on your knees asking for a tool to save you. And this was the tool for me. So, yeah, it's been transformative and I can't thank you enough.
So you're very welcome. I want to loop back to something though that you said that I think, because I've seen you like this, and I think it's very important to share with people the whole concept of I started crying and I can't stop. Because not everybody experiences this, but I definitely hear about it on my online community and when I do my live retreats, people ask the question like, I can't go to work like this. I can't like take care of my kids. They're going to be terrified of me. You know, I can't function in the world. I have to go to the PTA meeting. I can't be sobbing, you know. And I think, and listen, and you can't, and I get it, and I'm not suggesting that that's acceptable. But one thing I am suggesting, because I watched Jess really bravely go through this, is it's not forever. And I think you just have to practice acceptance around it, that although, you know, because I do think, Jess, that that's what gets a lot of people to stop doing this. They get either very angry and they're snipping at everyone all the time, or they get really sad and they can't stop crying, or they get really panicked and they have like super high anxiety all day and they're like, well, forget it. I can't live like this. But it's just, you got to get through the eye of the needle. You know, the only way out is through. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's anything else to say about it. I just figured I wanted to loop back to that. You know, do you have any maybe advice for people who are having those extreme emotional reactions and are tempted to stop?
Oh, 100%. I think that those are, for some of us, a normal response to opening up something that has been awake in your body for so long. And I think that the tears, I was able to, of course, at first it was terrifying. And Nicole would sort of self-soothe, like saying, like, that's where the money is, right? If it's hysterical, it's historical. There's something that needs to come out of you, like allow it to come out, and know that it will pass. And in the time, in the moment, it doesn't feel like it's going to pass. It definitely can feel overwhelming and stressful, but all I can say is it does pass. It truly does pass, and it gets better, and you're able to sort of learn how to manage it better. I think at first we aren't necessarily used to, this is a new process for ourselves. Like, this is all new. Now when I journal and I get emotional and the tears come out, it doesn't frighten me anymore. It feels actually so therapeutic and so cathartic to just let it flow. And I know that when my alarm goes off, I have an opportunity to either put it away, to meditate and to move on with my day. Or if I need to keep going, if there's something that I haven't let out, I can continue. Again, I think it was through Nicole's, I mean, I feel very blessed that I had Nicole guiding me through this really stressful time, or, you know, emotional time, I guess. But I did have her voice in my ear saying, this will pass. This isn't going to last forever. You will feel like this is more manageable in the future. And that did help me continue to push on. So I definitely think if that is your experience, just having a voice in your, a self-soothing voice, right? You would always tell me to speak to myself as if I'm, you know, a child, speak to myself with loving, caring words. Like, it's going to be okay. This will pass. I'm here for you. So I think I also learned to speak to myself in that gentle voice and to not judge myself for the emotional response I was having. I am an insanely emotional person. I will be very forward with that. Experience intense emotions, and I don't view it as a bad thing. But at the time, you're right, Nicole, I was like, I gotta go see clients, look at my puffy face, like, how am I going to get through this? But you push on and you do. What do you say about action? I don't know, that's always been insanely helpful for me too.
About the next right considered action, about
Yeah, just, that always helped me.
Just that you don't have to look at it like a huge whole big picture. All you need to do is pause and do the next right considered action that's right in front of you. So if you have to do your journal and you're sitting and you're like forecasting a half hour, an hour, a day into your life and saying, but how can I handle that if I do this? Just stop it. Stop looking forward. Just say, what do I have to do right now? Okay, for the next 20 minutes, I have to do my journal speak practice. Okay, fine. Put the timer on. Do it. Cry your head off, whatever needs to happen. Now at the end, you're hysterical. You can't stop crying. Now I need to do my meditation. I'm not going to worry about 2 hours from now where I have an obligation. I'm going to do my meditation and I'm going to chill. Now you've got 10 minutes later. That timer goes off. I promise you, you're not going to be the same person that you were a half hour ago. So you just have to keep taking these baby steps, this next right considered action. You know, what I say often is that life is a behavior modification program. You cannot think your way into better feelings. You never can. It will never work. You must act your way into better feelings with small, manageable decisions that you can carry out. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And that piece was critical for me. I absolutely remember you saying that. And the left foot, right foot, breathe. Like, I remember just feeling so overwhelmed at first, and your voice telling me, okay, get up, Jess, go wash your face.
Right.
When you wash your face, put your makeup on. When you put your makeup on, go outside and walk your dog. Having that, like, okay, there are steps I can take, helped clear the overwhelm for me to be able to know that I can move past it. And then with, you know, within a week or two, I wasn't so fearful of these big emotions that I was releasing right. because of the journal speak. I was actually grateful for them.
And you know, big emotions are just TMS. Like this isn't a state of being for the rest of your life. Not being able to stop crying is the same as nausea, is the same as back pain, is the same as migraine, it's the same as fibro. It's a way in which your body is expressing itself and it just needs to be honored until it's finished. And if you don't resist it and you honor it till it's finished, it will finish. It always will. You know, and I also want to say one more thing about Jess and working with me. I know that people are always like, oh, I wish I could work with you. And I don't take new clients anymore. Jess was a specific, you know, Shoshana had become such a dear friend to me that, you know, I sometimes boost, you know, for short periods of time, I'll take referrals and, you know, that's the way life goes. But I want to say straight up, Jess, I know that I was important to you. And I know that for, you know, maybe a month or two, we talked every week. You did this. Like you did this. And I'm not just saying that to compliment you. I'm saying that to motivate other people. Jess did not do this because she got to talk to me once a week for 50 minutes. Jess did this work on her own. She was listening to my guidance, which by the way is the same guidance that anyone around the world can get on this podcast. And she did the work. And she, you know, so I just want, I always want to say that to people because rarely I actually have someone that I actually worked with, you know, rather than someone I worked with years ago. And I never want people to think that that is the deciding factor because it really isn't. I can't do this work for you anyway. It has to come from your own willingness.
Absolutely. I do feel insanely fortunate that I did have the opportunity to speak with you and work with you and talk to you when I was feeling something or had a question. But I also was on my knees with no other options and I had to show up for myself to feel better. And I do think that that's what this work offers is freedom when you're able to show up for yourself. And yeah, I am proud of myself. I do realize that like every day I have a choice that I can make if I want to live a life of freedom and a more fulfilling and authentic and genuine life. And every single day I make that choice, I am insanely proud of myself. So
you, and so you grateful. And you should be. And I know you did mention very briefly that you're going through a divorce right now. And I think it's important to just quickly touch on that there's nothing that we can't handle with the help of this work. You know, people say, but what if, you know, I had a sick parent? What if I had a death of my animal and it was my animal from my heart? What if I, you know, got fired from my job? There is nothing that this work can't bring you through. It's just about continuing to show up for it.
Exactly. And the way I feel about this divorce is, again, divine intervention. And that's weird to say about a divorce, but there's no way my life could have unfolded any other way. And that means like meeting Shoshana Bean, meeting Nicole, doing this work, learning about journal speak. Without that, there's no way I would have survived this divorce the way I have. And in fact, it's felt like absolutely the next right considered action in my life. And I truly am so grateful that I have been given this tool to help me navigate divorce, codependency, any issues that are coming up for me, fear of, you know, everything, fear, abandonment, loneliness, all of these things that I am experiencing right now. I have a tool to help me process them, to get them out of my body so I can go about my day and live my life and show up for myself. So absolutely. I'm so grateful, which sounds so crazy. I'm so grateful that the divorce happened when it happened with the tool that Nicole gave me.
You were equipped. So yeah. I always ask this at the end of all of my interviews, and I know we've done so much with giving people great guidance today, but you know, Jess, you are looking out over a sea of hundreds of thousands of people who are suffering, who might be on day one of this, who might be on year two of it, but just haven't been able to make themselves consistent. You know, there's all different people out there, people who are doing the work, but can't possibly find space to be kind to themselves, people who are doing the work, but just don't really believe that it's TMS. Maybe they need another test. Is there any just one piece of advice you would want to put out there if you were that person suffering and scared and alone? And if you were listening to this podcast, one thing that you would want to say to that little you out there?
Oh God, there's so many things, but I think the main thing that came to mind when you asked that is show up for yourself. Show up for yourself. Show yourself some compassion that you are most likely giving to so many other people in your life. We also deserve that compassion. And this tool, showing up for ourselves, allowing ourselves 20 minutes a day, maybe 40 minutes a day if you want to do it twice, is going to give you a richer, fuller life. And what I also say is, if you are experiencing the resistance, if your brain is convincing you that this isn't for you, that maybe there's something else that can help you, okay, acknowledge that. Don't judge yourself for it, because it's a part of the human condition. It's a part of our brains. But also feel the difference. Feel the difference of showing up for yourself for, I don't even know, it doesn't even need to be that long of a time, for 2 weeks, and then not doing it one day. See what happens. Look at the ripple effect and be aware of what's happening, and then choose to show up for yourself every day, because I promise you, the reward is so, so great and so, so deep. I'm such a feelings person, as we talked about. I don't have the words to articulate how good it feels to be able to do that for yourself.
Oh, I think you're doing a great job. I'm feeling it.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
I'm feeling it. So I know that your practice is almost totally full. But before the interview, I did get Jessica's permission to say that her practice is in Williamsburg, correct?
Yes.
Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And she does have a very limited number of spots left for private clients. And she's an incredible therapist and uniquely qualified to bring people through this work. So if you are listening, Jess, I will just put your contact information in the show notes and in the intro, so people will know where to find you. But I thank you for that, because my dream in the future is to train therapists and really have many, many people out there who understand really specifically from me how to do this for their clients. But I know that you would be incredible as a therapist for somebody doing this.
Oh my God. And I would be so honored. I mean, I already find myself pretty much with every single client I have, you know, itching to, and I usually do actually tell them about your podcast, give them your name. So absolutely. This is a tool that everyone in the world should know about.
I know.
I feel very strongly about that. So.
It's not just for pain. That's the thing. I mean, this is for the human condition. But you know, maybe one day we'll get there.
We will. I believe we will.
Absolutely. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you. I'm so honored.
Well, awesome. This has been a great conversation. I hope it has helped you guys. If you are new to this podcast, jump over to thecureforchronicpain.com to find out about everything I do. And if you're enjoying it, please go to iTunes to rate and review it. It means the world to me. And until next time, this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs. See you next week. Bye-bye.